This episode is sponsored by Hulu. The reality queen herself, Lisa Vanderpump, has a new home on Hulu and has teamed up with them to bring you the newest, most exciting reality series yet, Vanderpump Villa. In an escape to the French countryside, Lisa and her staff work, live, and play together 24/7 while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. The series offers first-class luxury with world-class drama. Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey, the podcast where we cover all the pop culture we love to hate, from the classic reality TV moments of the past and present to the latest Daily Mail headlines and everything in between. We'll dive into all the infamous and notorious messes you can't stop watching. I'm looking at you, Jax Taylor. I'm your host, Ryan Bailey.
Greetings, loved ones. Let's take a journey.
Welcome to So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey. I am Ryan Bailey. I guess if we're going by that song, I am the DJ that will not make it stop. I hope everybody's going to have a great Wednesday. I feel that we are together as one. I picked that one, California Girls by Katy Perry, because we have a California girl with us today. We have, from the first season of Real Housewives of Orange County, Joe De La Rosa. And if you haven't watched all of the seasons of Real Housewives of Orange County, what are you even doing with your lives? Now, the crazy thing is, Joe was like super young when she did the show. And I talked to her last week and she's still super young. I was like, how do you look the same? Like, I don't know. I can't wait for you guys to hear this interview. But I want to say also the coolest thing about this interview is that I don't know if you guys heard the news. I saw it was on Page Six and a bunch of different outlets. she got engaged over this past weekend. And we talk about her and her boyfriend at the time in the interview. And a couple days later, he popped the question. And I was like, damn, I talked to her at the wrong time. I could have talked to her, you know, and guess what? She came back on and I wanted to talk to her and just find out a little bit of how he popped the question. And she tells us the whole romantic story. So she does a whole nother 10-minute thing at the end of the first interview. She was so nice and kind to do that. And I was so happy. I wanted to give you a couple Real Housewives of Orange County facts before we get into this, because today I just wanted to do the interview, couple Real Housewives of Orange County facts, and we will be on our merry way, folks, because, you guys know who I'm talking to. While you're hearing this, I will be talking to Monique Samuels, former cast member of Real Housewives of Potomac. So please send out well wishes in your head today. Send some vibes, some positive energy. I really want that to go well. I got to tell you, I say this all the time, and I hope you can hear it. But it is so cool. There are so many cool people in this world. You know, like everybody has something so cool in them, and we don't really get to see it because we're too busy like driving or walking, you know, like we don't get to get into these long conversations with people. And it is so cool when you do, because you're just like, man, how did everybody become so cool? Like, it blows my mind. And like, I don't know. So I can't say enough about that. But so Real Housewives of Orange County, remember, you guys, it is the first franchise of the Real Housewives universe. So it premiered on March 21st, 2006. Now, I told Joe this in the interview, but guess what else premiered that same day? Twitter, the social media app. Twitter premiered on that same day. So far it's aired 15 seasons. I believe they're working on its 16th right now, where Heather Dubrow is coming back. And it was intended to focus on the personal and professional lives of several women residing in Orange County, California. So that is, that was like the mission statement of that show, if you will. So the first season of this show, these were the cast members. Okay, this is great. Kimberly Bryant, I don't know if you guys remember her, Kimberly. We talk about her a little bit in this interview. Of course, Joe De La Rosa, the Queen, Vicky Gunvalson, the OG of the OC, Jeannie Keough, which we talked to her son Shane, and we talk about Shane in this interview as well, and Lori Peterson. Then it was Lori Waring. Lori Peterson, but at the time it was Lori Waring. So Kimberly Bryant left after the first season. Tammy Knickerbocker, if you guys remember, Tammy joined the cast for the second season, which premiered January 16th, 2007. So first one was March 21st, 2006, then all the way January 16th, 2007. And that's when Joe exited the second season as a full-time housewife. And then the third season came back for guest appearances. So I was just reading some of these names, and just listen to these names through the ages. Do you guys remember Quinn Fry? Tamara Judge, of course, Lynn Curtin, Gretchen Rossi, Alexis Bellino, which we talked to a couple weeks ago here at the podcast. We really are making our way through some housewives of OC lately. Peggy Tanuis, I think you say her last name. Heather Dubrow, Lydia McLaughlin, Lizzie Rovzek, the swimsuit designer, Shannon Storms Vidor, Megan King Edmonds, Kelly Dodd, Peggy Sulihan, Gina Kirschenheiser, Emily Simpson, Bronwyn Wyndham Burke, and Elizabeth Lynn Vargas. You know, isn't it crazy? You would think you think there's so many other castmates through the years, but these are the cast members of this show. I also thought about all the different nights this show was on. So the series has been on sometimes some seasons on Monday night, some seasons on Tuesday night, some seasons on Wednesday, Thursday, and even Sunday evening. And it's aired anywhere from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock to 10 p.m. time slots, which I thought was wild. Now, this is a show that the first Housewives spinoff show came from this franchise. That was, of course, Date My Ex with Joe and Slade, Joe De La Rosa, our guest today. That was the first spinoff. And it documented De La Rosa as she began dating after moving to Los Angeles, where potential suitors were regularly surveyed by Slade Smiley. We do talk a little bit about Slade and in a really positive manner for the most part. It's just so funny. I always think about, like, imagine dating somebody or engaged to somebody and then having to keep being asked about that person. Like, think about your high school ex, you guys. What if, like, 15 years from now, like, I come, like, everybody asks you about that person in some form? Like, it would be kind of bizarre. But that was the first spinoff. And then, of course, the second spinoff from Real Housewives of Orange County was Tamara Barney's, Tamara's OC wedding, when she got married to Eddie Judge. You know what? I've never seen Tamara's OC wedding. I call myself a fan. What am I even doing out here? What a rookie. But I just wanted to give you a little, little taste. But when they originally pitched the show, so this, of course, was it was created by a gentleman named Scott Dunlap. He's the show's creator. And it was originally planned to be set in a single gated community in Costa de Casa, California. So the show was inspired by shows like Desperate Housewives and a show called Peyton Place from Peyton Place was from the 70s. And it would document the lives of upper class women who, quote, led glamorous lives in a Southern California gated community where the average home has a $1.6 million price tag and residents included CEOs and retired professional athletes. I love at this time, $1.6 million was like, whoo, we're talking a bunch of Bill Gates over there. So I wanted to give you that as a little setup. Now, Joe in the show, we find out, you know, in the very beginning, she is with Slade Smiley, and that is how she is introduced to this show. And I believe, kind of in a way, she was the everyman or the everywoman character. We kind of saw it through her because she was the youngest of the cast. She didn't really have any friends at the time, or with these ladies, she didn't have a connection like some of these ladies did have to each other. But what I find really fascinating in this interview, and what I got to tell you, you know how you get vibes from people? Joe has a really good vibe. Like, honestly, she has a really good vibe. I'm going to put all the information for her YouTube channel. She's taking it really seriously. And she's the kind of person that I was like, after talking to her, I was like, I want her to succeed. Like, she's a good person. Like, I mean, she really, because we even talk about her moving to LA, starting a singing career. She has an album, you guys, you can find on Spotify called Unscripted. But, and I listened to the whole thing last week. I mean, for 2008, I believe, when it was released, like, that was the sound back then. It's good for 2008. I was like, oh, this is, I liked it. But the other thing that I thought was great was after that music career, she talks about the phone not ringing as much, you know, and realizing that, you know, you're not as popular as you once were. And then, you know, even having to, you know, take bartending jobs and all of this stuff. And I thought it was like she spoke about a really, like, very cool and a humble person. And I was just, I don't know. I was really surprised at just how down to earth she is and unaffected. Which, by the way, I mean, I guess if you do a show in 2006 that we still all talk about and freak out about, I guess that's we're probably the weird ones. But I thought she was just really great. And it was like just one of those people I got. And I talked to her again today and I was like, man, I think I would be friends with this person. She was just really cool. And I want good things for her. So I hope you guys dig this interview. I thought it was a really positive one. And so without further ado, the lady of the hour, Joe De La Rosa. Oh, and you guys, right before the interview, I'm going to play the season one intro, and you will hear how far even the intros have come in terms of Housewives taglines. Vicky's tagline is, I don't want to get old. Okay, Joe De La Rosa.
Pretty much keeping me.
Are the police involved?
It
It's just money and you can't take it with you.
85% of the women around here have had breast implants.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the show. As you know, the last couple of weeks, I've tried to highlight people that I think are legends in these reality shows that we love. And here is somebody today with us that created the whole thing. One of the first five ladies to be on a Housewives franchise, one of the most important franchises to Bravo, Real Housewives of Orange County. What you might not know is this person did so much more and is still doing amazing things afterwards. I mean, she was a pop star for a bit. She was she's now a content creator. She's in digital advertising. I mean, too many things to ask her about. Let's get into it right now. Joe De La Rosa, thank you so much for being here.
Oh my gosh, what an introduction. Thank you.
I mean, but see, I was watching the first season and I watched the first season the when it aired, and it was kind of legendary for its time. Like, it really, you got to be a part of something that I think not a lot of people get to be the start of something.
Yeah, I don't think any of us really knew what we were getting into when we started. I think we all just thought, oh, this is like a fun little thing we're going to do. I know for me, it was Slade who wanted to do it. So I was like, being the good fiance then that I was like, yeah, of course, I'll do it with you. And
well, so that I mean, so Slade, of course, is her ex, and we, you know, that whole storyline is highlighted on the show. But like, he was the one that wanted to be on the show. It wasn't something that you saw a casting notice and was like, hey, that looks fun.
Right. Yeah. So Slade was actually in the entertainment industry, and like, he had an agent, he was modeling, he was going to audition.
He was doing sit-ups in his underwear on the first episode. Yeah.
He was doing sit-ups in his underwear, getting his body ready. So yeah, so he was kind of like, because he was a cycling national champion, he got a lot of sports deals to do like sponsored stuff in LA. So it was kind of his realm. And at the time, I had no idea. I was just a girl working at a mortgage company that had literally just graduated college. So
You were so young, and all of a sudden you like, you can even tell the first scene, you guys, there's like a scene where they're in the kitchen and she's like getting like, he has to go to work supposedly. And she's, you know, she's just you weren't working at the time, and you weren't used to having your days free. And it was like this kind of funny thing when, you know, it's like the cameras are first on you. Was it completely awkward to start having cameras around you and try to have that relationship on camera?
Completely. It was kind of like a weird thing where you're walking into a room and there's all these people around you and you're supposed to completely pretend like that is normal, and it's not. And you have to try to like focus on like what you're doing, but you've got like mics and booms and cameras. And it was, and I was, again, I wasn't an actress, so it was super uncomfortable. But I think every day that we did it a little bit more and more, it started to get a little natural, to where at some point, I don't want to say the cameras disappeared, but you add a little alcohol and then the cameras disappear, and then you make some really bad decisions, as you saw, pink boas and zebra hats included.
I know. I mean, you really, but see, but that then set up this kind of legend of the Housewives, of where I feel like it almost is on steroids now. Do you even still watch any of the franchises? Do you keep, I talked to Alexis Bellino last week, or I think, and by the way, I talked to Shane Keough last week, and he says to say hello.
Aw, Shane.
I tried to get him to make up a rumor that you guys made out, but he wouldn't do it. So feel free to make up that rumor if you'd like to, but he wouldn't do it.
I just got grilled on my reaction video we just did for YouTube about that. So everybody wants to grill us. Tell him I said hi if you talk to him again soon. But yeah, I love Shane. But yeah, it's crazy. And, you know, after Housewives with like Slade and Gretchen and that whole thing, and just like coming out, and then Slade and Lori, I was so young that when I left the show, I just kind of needed time away from all of that stuff. And I think, you know, just taking time for myself, just away from anything Housewife related, I really didn't watch the show.
That's really smart. That means you actually care about your mental health. That's good. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was more like I moved to LA, and then there was such a, right after the show. And so right after I left the show. And so there was such a disconnect with me in Orange County at that point, because now I was in the city and I was, you know, caught up in the nightlife and getting invited, because I was hot off the show. So I was getting invited to like all the newest restaurants and the newest clubs.
And that was like when the hills was like popping, all of that stuff. Like you probably were going to Joseph's, all those nightclubs at the time. Yeah.
That's actually how I ended up meeting Lauren Conrad and Audrina and like all of those. Cause I'd gone to school with someone that was working at Us Weekly at the time that was like, you guys all need to meet. You're like all the Orange County girls. So that's how that happened. And yeah, it was really fun. And I was at the height of my career. You know, when you're just hot off of a new show, you're like the it girl, right?
Yeah.
And so it was really fun. So Housewives in Orange County, it was kind of like a distant memory, if you will. And also I was trying to get over an ex. You know, everybody saw a little bit of the drama that happened with Slade and I and the breakups, and I needed some space. So yeah, I didn't end up watching it. A very long answer to your short question.
No, I want the longest answers possible. This is great. Like I'm geeking out right now, but I mean, you even did a reality show about you and Slade about Date My Ex. I mean,
that's
one of the first Bravo spinoff shows I think they had.
Yeah. So actually, I was the first housewife to have their own TV show spinoff. So as if I'm like, should I be proud of that? I'll take the token. And I think that the show was a little bit before its time in the sense that like, it was like a hybrid between The Bachelorette and then sticking, you know, 15 guys in a house with my ex-boyfriend to help pick my next boyfriend while I had just gotten a record deal was like being, and they try to like merge it with like a Hills type of
like
storyline of like me pursuing my music career, living with my two best friends in LA. So it was kind of like this weird hybrid competition show, reality thing. And yeah, we only
did. You were the first Bravo, I think Bravo star with a music career. I mean, like now, I mean, you have like Countess Luann, you have all of these things, but you actually had a full album in 2008 called Unscripted, which you can find on Spotify, you guys. And that's actually really good for the time. It like fits exactly. You could even do a cover of one of my favorite 80s songs, Rumors. It's only 31 minutes, you guys. You should actually listen to it. But
amazing.
Isn't it wild though to go from reality show to musician? And to like, what, I mean, is there any similarities between the two industries?
You know, I think the professionalism and the hustle, you know, in terms of like work ethic and stuff like that was the same work ethic I had when I was on Housewives in terms of like showing up, shoot dates, times and stuff like that. But no, the music industry is so completely different. And it's really funny because cameras were off after I got my record deal and moved to LA to do the music thing. What a lot of people don't know is my first single actually ended up on radio. My first music video ended up on MTV, and I ended up touring
didn't you open for somebody or?
I did. So we actually went to House of Blues and it was Joey Fatone hosting. It was like House of Blues, New York. Lady Gaga myself before Lady Gaga became Lady Gaga. Like and I still have the flyer. It's so wild. And just like looking back on it. And then I ended up getting a publishing deal for songwriting through Sony. And my first one song that I wrote ended up on an episode of The Hills.
You know, so I had heard that actually
really doing music. And a lot of people didn't know that.
I've been an actor in Los Angeles since I got here, and you have these little kind of pockets of success, or I was on an episode of The Office or How I Met Your Mother or something, but people don't realize the struggle it is in any kind of entertainment. They kind of see this glamorous, glossy thing, or that's the image we want to present to people, I guess. But the reality of that situation is so much hard work, pain. You hear no 99.9% of the time. I mean, was that your journey as well a little bit after your album came out?
Yeah, I think the crazy thing is I wasn't really, I was really lucky. The way I got my record deal, the way I got my first agent, there wasn't really an audition for me. I think coming off of the show, I lived a very charmed life. A lot of the things I got after the show, I didn't have to audition to because I was Joe from Real Housewives. Like when you come off of a hot show like that, people just want to use you and projects and stuff like that. And also, I wasn't trying to be an actress. I did try my stint in acting, and it ends up that I hate memorizing scripts, and I absolutely hate auditions, like literally anxiety.
It really is horrible. I mean, like it's the worst. It's not real at all. It's
oh my gosh,
weirdest.
But I did actually go to a few auditions. One was to play like the stylist in 90210. And I was like, okay, went there. They loved my audition, got a no. Another one was for a Skechers commercial. Like,
yes.
And I just kind of stand and dance when Skechers was hot. Didn't get that. It's like rejection after rejection.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel great.
It's funny. I filmed an audition the other day for something, and you know, you're just used to it. And somebody asked me, "Hey, how did you get word about that audition?" And I was like, "I don't expect to ever get word. Like, I mean, this is just something. This is like purgatory where I just keep putting auditions on tape, and I never hear. Like, I don't expect to ever hear. It's just something I do. You know?
It's so true. It's so true. So you do live in LA?
Yeah. I live right off Melrose. Yeah. Melrose and
oh my gosh, we're totally neighbors. I'm right here on Hollywood.
Oh, yeah, Melrose and Fairfax area.
I love that.
Yeah. No, it's but I mean. So you do the music. When is it? Cause I know then you got really successful in like digital advertising and things like that, but what makes you potentially start going, you know what, that dream is not going to be something I'm focused on as much as something more real and solid over here.
Yeah. So I was about 27 and everything had kind of popped in terms of my music. And like I said, the single got on radio, music video, all the stuff had hit so hard. And the owner of my record label went to rehab and everything started to kind of fall apart in terms of the label I was with. It was a smaller label. And at that time, it was really funny because they were kind of pushing me to be like the J-Lo pop star dancer girl. And I didn't want to do that. I wanted to go to Nashville with a guitar and write songs. But Latin country girls back in circa 2000, you know, 8 was not the thing. Like Hootie and the Blowfish, I think Darius Rucker had just like
went to country.
It was so new then. So I ended up getting a 360 deal after that from Universal Records. And they wanted a piece of everything because I asked to leave the label. And honestly, again, it was just kind of like, I hated being on the road. I didn't love the direction they were pushing me to be a pop starlet. They wanted me to be like the next J-Lo because I could dance. And it was really fun. Like my choreographer was Mikey Minden from Pussycat Dolls. It was a whole dance.
Wait, did you say Mikey Minden?
Yeah.
You know Mikey Minden's Erica Jane's. Oh, wow. It's so weird. It all connects.
Because that was not, he was not, he was Pussycat Dolls when I was working.
That's wild.
Wow. Yeah, I love Mikey. So so that's when I decided, okay, am I going to keep touring at 27 and keep doing this music thing, you know, and it wasn't really my passion, or maybe let's take a step back and go focus on something else. And to be honest with you, one of my girlfriends came up to me and was like, hey, you can make really good money bartending in Hollywood, actually. So I ended up doing that. And
wait, which bar?
Oh my gosh, Boulevard 3, which I'm sure you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was also these little like speakeasy like places I used to work at.
Oh, I used to run the bar. It used to be called Monroe's back in, it was like the little, then it became Villa afterwards, right on like Melrose and like by the Pacific Design Center.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, like there's all the, like, so you bartended and then.
Yeah, so I ended up taking, because I didn't come for money. So I needed to figure out like how I was going to pay my bills. And by the way, I just looked at the clock and just realized I actually do have an hour, so you're good.
Oh my God, that would be amazing if I did, because I'm like, now I have like 8 billion questions.
No,
so.
No, you're good.
Okay, cool. Yeah, just give me a high sign and I'll wrap it up whenever.
You're good. Okay. I just got a notification, so you're good. So I used to bartend at Play, which was also another little one. And it was crazy because people would come up to me and be like, they would recognize me bartending. They'd be like, Joe, what the hell are you doing serving drinks? And I think that people think when you've come off of a hot show that has reruns, you're making all this money.
Yeah.
The truth is, that's not at all the case. Like, first of all, I didn't come from rich parents. Like, I supported myself. And secondly, we don't get royalties. We're not SAG. So reality.
And by the way, people also don't realize this is before influencer culture either. Because like now the Bachelor and Bachelorette, they all, you know, they get online and then they can make their living doing that. But this was, you know, I was telling Alexis, or or Shane, actually, when Real Housewives of Orange County premiered, was the first day Twitter premiered as well.
What?
It was this, you guys opened on the same day, Twitter, but it wasn't anything back then. It was just a very small social media app, but that premiered on the same night as Real Housewives of Orange County.
Oh my gosh, that's so crazy. And then the other thing was, and don't even get me started on the Bachelorette and Bachelor franchise, because that's the thing right now. And one of my biggest struggles, which I know we'll eventually get to, but being a content creator, it's all about your social media numbers. Yeah. And I wasn't on Instagram. Like, there was no Instagram at the time. I missed it by 2 years. So now when these girls go on the Bachelorette, even for one season,
they're like a half a million followers already. And like, you, I mean, it blows me away. Cause I'm like, wait, they didn't earn anything. Like, and I mean, but now it's kind of funny. Cause then I feel like we get into this habit of like, oh great, now we have to take care of these guys for the rest of our lives. We have to keep clicking or they're going to like be destitute at some point, you know?
Totally. And so that's the thing. People will ask me like, number one, Joe, why don't you have more followers? And I'm like, because there was no Instagram. And then that was the other thing, is like the struggle is so real trying to make it in the content creator space, because the number one thing I always get is like, yeah, Joe, we love you. We love the show, but come back to us when you've hit a million followers. Come back to us when you hit X amount. And I'm just like, ah. Like if I only had come out 2 seasons later.
Oh, it would have been done for you. Like that would have been.
Totally. But you know what? Everything happens for a reason. And like, I know that it's going to be such a more awesome story, you know, having been like in the first crew.
Yeah. You were in the first crew and you're still insanely young. You were insanely young on that cast. I mean, yeah. what I'm saying is like, there's no, what I love about Hollywood or anything that we do is that there literally is no expiration date. If you're an interesting person, you're good looking, you're all that you have. Like, I just think it's cool that you have that as the start of your story, yeah. You know, like then wherever your story goes, I mean, you've already lived 4 lifetimes from just reading about you, but where did you grow up? Where did you start?
Like in Mission Viejo in Orange County.
Okay. So you did live in California.
Yep. I did. So, I mean, I was born in Peru and in Lima, South America, but my family is in Orange County.
And how did you, meet Mr. Smiley?
Mr. Smiley. Oh, Mr. Smiley. I had actually graduated from UC Irvine and my first job was at a mortgage industry and he was a title rep and I was a little assistant and to a big loan officer, and he would come in every week because we were his account. And I had no idea who he was. I didn't know he was one of the 7 partners of this gigantic company.
You just knew he matched his watches with his suit and tie.
Exactly. I was just like, oh, he can kind of dress for 2006. And so my boss, because I was so new and fresh out of college, was like, please take my assistant out to lunch and teach her the business. And
He taught you the business. Yeah. Well, and by the way, and just so you know, she is actually I'm insanely upset at her. She is one of the people that found love over COVID too. So just to fast forward, I don't know if you, I was researching you a little bit and you're one of the lucky people that actually did something with their COVID and found love. But he watches, he does the reaction video with her. You guys, you got to go sign up for her YouTube or click subscribe. I'll put all that information in the description. But what does he think about your beginnings of this? Like,
luckily I have someone I found an incredible human who is not in the same industry as me, but he's in the industry because he's in the world of like music producing and musical theater and all of that. He's actually insanely talented. And so I don't know that he loves Housewives because, you know, throwing wine at each other and me in a pink boa, taking off my top at 26, not really the vibe your ex wants to see.
Oh, yeah. 2006 was a wild time. It was different back then. Yeah.
Exactly. But, you know, he always laughs, or I still get recognized to this day.
I would have to imagine you do. I mean, like
so wild to me. And people will still come up, ask for a picture. And so every time that happens, he'll always kind of like, he's so sweet about it, but he'll always kind of giggle and laugh and I'll kind of like stop.
What's the weirdest fan experience you've ever had?
I was at the Grove and I literally had this girl come up to me, literally jumping up and down, being like, oh my God, I can't believe it's I'm like freaking out as if I was some crazy. You would have thought I was like Leonardo DiCaprio or somebody. I was like, girl.
But that's the fan base. The fan base is exactly like if you showed up at BravoCon in October, people would freak out. Like, I mean, that would be something. I mean, would you do something like that?
I would totally go to BravoCon. You know what's funny? I just did another podcast interview last week.
My buddy Steve, actually. Yeah, this is my Bravo. Yeah.
Yeah. And he asked me about BravoCon too. I've never gone. Bravo's never invited me just because I will get invited to like parties and stuff with Bravo. But when it comes to BravoCon, they've never reached out or anything. But
I mean, this will only be the second one in October.
Oh, okay. Got it.
But I mean, you would be key on a panel. I mean, like, I really think that is interesting. And I think it's more interesting to see how it's evolved over the years. Like, you know, watching your show, watching your like first season, especially, it's like watching a gritty documentary compared to what it is now, where it's so glossy and it's so, you know, you had Lori Sun back then and dealing with those. You had real, real issues. But even just to see how Vicky transformed, I mean, she started off intense, but to then see where she went is, I mean, like, imagine if you had stayed in it for like 13 seasons, who you would be at this point, you know?
Oh my gosh, I know. I also feel like I have a younger audience now, you know, it's mainly millennials. And so, I don't know, I kind of like, I'm forever 27 at heart. And so I feel like had I stayed on the show, I don't know, I think I would be in a really different position. Yeah. Obviously with, you know, a following, but also, I don't know, again, I think the city and me, we always had a love story. And nothing would have ever happened. I wouldn't have done music. I wouldn't have gotten the opportunities I've gotten. I wouldn't have gone in at digital advertising. So I just feel like, again, everything happened as it should.
Yeah. And you stopped after the second season, correct?
So I was in 1 and 2. I came back for season 3 and season 4, a couple episodes. Yeah. Yeah, just a little thing. But yeah, first 2 seasons.
Mm-hmm. And what was, I mean, was that, that was an easy thing at the time though, because you could go directly to music. You went to LA. There was you didn't doubt that decision at all at the time, right?
No, I was so excited. And I had always loved LA. Slade and I would always fight about me going to LA to party while he had to stay home with the kids. Obviously not the best decision when I was engaged to him, looking back at it now. But at the time, I just wanted to be a kid and like live out my 20s, having fun on the weekends with my girlfriends.
I think it's interesting to like, I was thinking about if I still had to answer questions about a girlfriend I had 15 years ago, that would be weird, right? But like at the same time, you have to answer. I mean, you don't have to, but you probably get asked a lot about questions about a relationship that you have you've outgrown, you know, or not outgrown, but you just time happens and you just move on, you know?
Well, the thing is Slade obviously has moved on. I've moved on to this day.
Slade's moved on a little differently than you moved on. It's a little different. Yeah.
I feel like we're always, if he ever hears this, he's going to hate it. But.
Oh, by the way, I was reading, sometimes he'll hear things and he then doesn't like, but you've always been so complimentary of him as a dad, I mean, that's the part I'm like, I don't know what he's listening to, because I was reading quotes where I was like, wow, she's like extremely nice about him when she doesn't have to be.
No, I've always defended him being an amazing father because I thought he got a really bad rap for that. But you know, there's been some things that have happened with a ring situation.
Yeah. I mean, obviously I don't want to get it, but like there was you you were going to replace one of the stones. It was like a placeholder ring. And then he was like, well, she knew about that. She bought it. It was like a weird convoluted thing.
Was an innocent comment that came out that I think he thought I was like trying to get press out of it. And I was like, Slade, that's so not my gig. Like I'm living in LA doing my thing up here. It was a conversation and it just slipped out. But the point is I'm like, he might not like it, but we're always going to be connected. And so I would love to one day be able to like talk and put everything behind us, because we're going to run in the same circles or have interviews about each other. And I've always tried to be nothing but gracious when I can. Yeah.
But we, I mean, like, just so, well, just so everybody knows, like, we begged her to come on, you guys. Like, I, like, there's no thirst level here at all. Like, we, I mean, because we, I interview a lot of people, and you can always tell when there's, you know, or somebody that's really trying to push some kind of agenda. And this just is not the case with you. So I think it would be weird to ever paint you in that light, because you are the least from, you know, you're like, oh, BravoCon, it might be nice. Like, you're, there's no part of you that is like itching to get back on the show or anything like that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm the happiest I've ever been in LA building what I'm building.
How dare you? God, you're the person that's the happiest in LA. I finally found him.
I mean, listen, I'd love to be at a million followers. So career.
Well, by the way, and I'll put that, go follow her on Instagram. She's got a really good start, but we'll get her there. Yeah.
Thank you.
But
yeah. So yeah.
Well, what is it though? The last little thing I do want to ask about Slade though, how weird is it though then to watch Gretchen at the time, who you knew? I mean, that's the only, and they've, I guess, withstood the test of time. They're still together and have a beautiful child and all of that stuff. But at the time, and especially, I mean, that has to be a little weird. Like, that's like, I would imagine, like, bro code or whatever. You don't do that. Isn't there a little bit? I mean, now this is water under the bridge. But I always thought that was curious, and also curious on the part of, like, Slade, do you just exclusively date housewives? Like,
I mean, on his part, it is a little suspect, but on the other hand, I guess it's kind of like the environment that you're in, the people that you're surrounded with are housewives, and therefore it may make it easier type of thing. I mean, I can't speak for him. I don't know what he was thinking when he decided what he did with as many housewives as he did. but yeah, I do believe in girl code. I've already gotten in trouble for saying it once. So
I don't know. See, that's the thing. I don't want any, I'm not trying to get anybody in trouble. It's just, these are natural questions that somebody would ask you like that. I would ask the same thing of Slade. Like, I mean, like, I would ask, like, why is that only the people you're attracted to?
Totally.
Like, it is. But also, yeah, it seems like it's worked out. They're still together and all that.
Totally.
But I mean, I do find it interesting that that whole, I mean, they're doing the influencer thing now too, big time. Mm-hmm. But even just that transformation, and that's what I find fascinating now about having a history of housewives to look back on, is that we got to see where you started and where you are now and how many things. But also, this, where he got started, he was like a business dude going into like huge business meetings. And then, like, that completely changed. Like, what a weird journey we've watched all of you guys kind of go on.
Yeah.
But it seems like you kind of followed maybe your heart and your soul a little bit more in terms of what felt actually right instead of what might have been easier at times.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I could have definitely taken the easy route in terms of, like, decisions that I made. I could have never left the show. I could have stayed in Orange County. I could have tried to make it work. I think it would be interesting to go back now for, like, a reboot of, like, the five of us original girls that have all left the show type of thing. Like,
Yeah. You
know how, like, The Hills is doing a reboot, like, everyone's doing a reboot type
thing. Come on, Real Housewives of Orange County, New Beginnings.
Right? Like, we get it. Exactly. I think that would be fun, but, like, it's actually shooting us from where we're at, kind of like Heidi and Spencer are wherever they're at, living
or
in
even Beverly Hills. None of those ladies live in Beverly Hills. They're like in Encino and all of these weird places, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So I think something like that would be fun. But yeah, no, I think I left Orange County exactly when I should have.
So in terms of COVID, though, I know it kind of completely ground so many things to a halt for me, and you know, kind of, I mean, it was really good for the podcast in some ways then, because it kind of grew at that point. But for you, where were you before COVID, and what did COVID kind of, did it put a halt to anything? Did it actually, I know you found love, but did it strengthen anything? What was this last year and a half like for you?
Well, in terms of career, it killed me.
Yeah, I mean, there was it decimated so many things.
Yeah, because I had just made a decision to quit a 10 plus year career in digital advertising where I was making a lot of money.
Yeah, you were successful. Yeah.
I was really successful. And I decided, you know what? My heart and my soul really wants to pursue being a content creator, because I always loved video and editing and photography. And so I told my parents that I was making this big life change. I sold everything.
Did they think you were crazy?
Oh my gosh. My mom flipped. She was like, you're going to do what? YouTube what? I'm like,
we would rather you go back on Real Housewives of Orange County than do this. Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing is like, I gave back the fancy BMW. I gave back all my stuff and literally just rented couches from girlfriends. Cause I wasn't sure how much I was going to make or how it was going to work. And I was like, you know what? I built a successful, you know, digital advertising agency once, I can do it again. And literally 3 months in, boom, COVID hit.
Hey guys, sorry to interrupt. Jo's amazing, isn't she? I got to do a commercial real quick. Just take 2 minutes. Guys, it's your old friend Ryan. You did not start the pod over again. It is commercial time, but also a commercial for a brand that I am proud to represent, and that is Dame. So we've talked about on this show before that we should definitely seek out what's right for us, not compromise on what is most important. Now, our relationships, they should add value to our lives, especially in the bedroom, right? So why don't we think the same way about our sex toys? Now, Dame Products, this is why this company is cool. It is a woman-owned sex toy company. They're making the next generation of vulva-tested, vulva-approved vibrators. I've said vulva way too many times already. So it's founded by a sex educator and an engineering whiz. Dame develops toys with the help of real humans and couples like you. They're closing the pleasure gap and helping the world one vulva at a time. So their vibrators and accessories are made with medical grade silicone, smart design principles, and lots of love, earning glowing press from the New York Times, W Magazine, and many more. So whether you're a couple looking for an extra boost where it matters or on a journey of self-exploration, which is a very valid journey, by the way, and everybody should have a journey of self-exploration at some point. But we are sure here at So Bad It's Good that they will earn a spot on your nightstand. Now, I personally recommend the Ava. It's a couples vibrator giving you clitoral stimulation during penetrative sex. Its flexible wings tuck under your labia for a snug fit. And the best part, Dame offers hassle-free returns within 60 days. So your satisfaction is literally guaranteed. Listen to that, okay? Like really, 60 days satisfaction guaranteed. That's a huge thing, hassle-free returns. So go to dameproducts.com, dameproducts.com/sobad today for 15% off site wide. Again, go to dameproducts.com/sobad today for 15% off site wide. Even if you don't buy something, folks, go use my little www address and see if you like something on there. You never know, right? You never know. And I will tell you, the last time that this commercial was on a couple weeks ago, a couple people bought products and they said they're really good. And I have a product that I guess I'm waiting for the right person to break it in with. Fake it in with, but you guys, this is the real deal. This is a real company. They seem to be doing it the right way, and I think it's really cool that a woman founded this and then it's run by women. You can't have better than that. Women know what women want. So, okay, I have talked about this way too much. Mom, if you're listening, I got you one too, Mom. Back to Joe.
And obviously that put a humongous halt and strain to brand deals. And if people don't know how you make money as a content creator on Instagram, brands will pay you to post. You can create videos for them on YouTube and you get paid and stuff like that. So, but a lot of brands stop spending because the messaging of like, use Tide with bleach and go out and have fun with friends and family. All of a sudden, advertisers were like, what's our new message? And masks weren't the thing yet. We didn't even know what this thing was. So yeah, I definitely struggled for the first 6 to 8 months. Thank goodness for EDD coming in.
I mean, for real. I mean, like, yeah, I was on that too. I mean, it really did save the day in some ways, you know?
Yeah, 1,000,000%. And I think that people, you know, they get embarrassed talking about this stuff. And I'm like, no, like, people need to know. Yes, you have to bartend when you come off of a hot show. Yes, you have to be on EDD when you jump careers and you're trying to make it. Like, it's not all glamorous. And for me, I've always been very transparent. I'm not ashamed of anything. This is my story. And it's going to be so much sweeter in the end once I make it. But I want people to see the struggle and the journey and the blood, sweat, tears along the way, because that's the real story, you know?
Did you watch that documentary, Fake Famous? That was on HBO. It was on HBO over COVID. You got to watch it because it's really about content creators, but seeing if they could they could cast people to try to get them to be successful content creators. So they, and then they bought them followers. They bought them all these things. And like one girl actually ended up being successful and got all these brand deals. One guy felt really bad about like somebody commented like, oh, these are like bot followers. And he got freaked out and like, it, but it was really interesting because it sees, it shows kind of what social media does to the people and how people can succeed at it by connecting with an actual audience. You really got to check it out. I think you would really, really dig it.
Totally need to.
What does a day for you look like now though, in terms, and what is your definition of a content creator, I guess?
So basically a content creator for me is literally when I get a brand deal or a product or whatever, I'm the one that shoots it. I have an amazing DSLR, Canon Mark III 5D. I'm such a tech nerd. And then also when it comes to like my YouTube videos, I set it up. I bought all the sickest lighting equipment.
By the way, I see a huge ring light in the background. You got all like,
we have soft boxes. I mean, there's a whole studio back here. And then I'm the one that actually edits in Final Cut Pro. I think a lot of people go into content creating, but they pay someone to edit. They pay someone to shoot. Like I do everything myself. Yes, I have photographers that obviously shoot me sometimes for more high quality premium content. But nowadays with Instagram and the trend being just really raw and authentic content, I think brands and audiences are connecting more with that type of content versus all the fancy premium stuff. Type thing, at least my likes and engagement go higher when I do it. Video editing, like people don't realize how many hours it takes. That Real Housewives reaction video I just posted on my YouTube took me 3 entire days to edit. Cause I'm editing, I'm doing all the punch-ins and graphics and everything. And so
yeah, it's really beautiful. Yeah. You guys, and a lot of my listeners really dig YouTube. So I think it actually really is a cool thing that you're doing, but so much of it is made in editing. So much of like, or even the podcast, like so much of it is, and that's why it's like, I would never let somebody edit my own stuff because it's so personal now. And you kind of develop a style as you go. Completely. Are you finding your style as you go?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, I try to hire video editors. I try to hire interns and teach them like the way I want it. But at the end of the day, nobody knows my personality, my reactions, my moments better than myself, or really how to tell the story that I'm wanting to tell better than me. And so I kind of just took it back and took on editing myself on. I really have a passion for it also. So yeah.
And this isn't overnight. I mean, you have to really, like anything out here, it's like one of the, it's a grind. Like it's not giving up. And like, how obsessed are you? Cause I get obsessed with like numbers and things like that. I try not to look at it. Cause then I'll just throw my day off. But at the same time, it's always there. I mean, are you like that as well?
1,000,000%. I'm such an analytics, like numbers, clicks, click through rate geek. Yeah.
how do you keep, like, that's the question I always ask myself is how do you marry those two of wanting to be successful, but also wanting to be true to yourself and actually share who you are with an audience. So, because the audiences are so sophisticated now that they can pick up BS really, really quick. Yeah. How do you marry those two for you?
Well, number one, with a lot of whiskey.
By the way, I'll just have you know, she's been drinking this entire time. It's
entire time. And the second thing is like, oh man, it's so hard. It's actually a daily struggle. I mean, I can't tell you how many times a month, probably once every 2 to 3 months, I will have a come to Jesus. What am I doing with my life? Why did I quit my career? Yeah. Is this really what I'm doing? Am I too old to be doing this moment? Right?
Yeah.
But especially when you put out a video, you work so hard and you literally get like not the views that you're wanting to.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like when you get those messages and people are like, I'm watching your videos, this is what I look forward to every day. Like you've made my day. You've inspired me. Like those comments, I swear it sounds so cheesy. It's the thing that keeps me going.
It helps so much. And sometimes they come at just the right time when you're at your lowest moment. And it is so weird. And I hate to even like, you know, cause you don't want to need anybody. You don't want to, you know, but it is one of those things that sometimes it really does pick you up. And that's why I tell everybody, like, you know, go support, like you do this job for free for the most part until things start working. And it's not, I mean, there is no some kind of internal greed with the people that really want to be doing this. It's just that you feel like you have something to share, you know, so it is something to really support. I mean, is it But it, I have to think, though, you are getting, like, YouTube actually looks great. Like, you are, I feel like those signs are, like, turning. I mean, are you feeling it, it's getting there? Or
Yeah. I'm feeling the love. Like, I my channel has definitely grown. It's not to the numbers that I want it to be, especially when I do magazine interviews like I did a couple of weeks ago. And I ended up getting called a, it was so funny because I won't name the name of the magazine, but they started to go through all the housewives and what they're doing.
Oh, I know. Now. I know who it is. Yeah.
Yeah. And they were like, this person, you know, they're super successful. And then Joe De La Rosa, what's she doing now? Well, she's a small scale YouTuber. And I was like, could we have just left the small scale out? Like, I just started a year ago. It doesn't take an overnight, like, it's not an overnight thing, you know?
No, it's not. I mean, that's why it's so funny. And nothing can, like, one sentence cannot encapsulate a person's career, you know?
And so I have to push that stuff out of my head and just see that the numbers are going and people are excited and know you can't watch me on TV yet. I'd love to have another reality show one day.
But wait, what would that reality show be? What would that reality show, if you could pitch a reality show based around your life, what would it be?
I think it would honestly be like exactly what I'm doing now, which is not the influencer project, but kind of the influencer project in the sense of like, nobody sees what happens to reality stars after they've left a really hot show. Like, what does life look like normal? You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, and especially over, I mean, now you're a decade out after it. But like, I'm very curious. God, I wish you could do like a little thing on your channel about just that first year for somebody fresh off the show, because that, I mean, and especially now, because so much is tied into social media, that rarefied air that you're breathing when you're on a show and you have an audience, and to fall from that first year. I mean, we've seen it with like Tamra and even Vicky kind of lost their mind. You know, you see those things. It's just got to be weird. Like, you now have adjusted, but like, it's
a lot of people don't.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's this whole cottage, because reality shows didn't exist really 20 plus years ago. This is all new. So we're now seeing the after effects of somebody, people's lives, you know, deeply after these shows end.
Yeah, totally. And I think, you know, when you're hot off the show, I mean, you get deals upon deals just thrown at you.
You're turning down deals. You're like, not even,
You get paid ridiculous amounts of money at the time pre-COVID to show up at clubs and do appearances, and you're really hot for that first year coming off. And then all of a sudden, the deals and the phone calls slowly start to die off. And you're like, what? Like, you don't know what to do with yourself, you know?
Do you notice it in the moment, or in retrospect, you go, yeah, I guess it kind of dried up? Or are you freaking out every day of like, I didn't get a call today? I didn't get, like, do you remember that period of time?
I definitely felt that everything slowed down. Like, the deals from my agent that I had at the time were slowing down. I wasn't getting as many email, like, requests for stuff. And it just slowly started to fizz, where right off the show, you know, I had landed this amazing handbag campaign where my face was on 7 billboards across Sunset Boulevard and streamed across buses. Like, that was the height of my career, to then go to quiet after probably like a year, I would say. And it is, you have to take a really hard look at yourself in the mirror and be like, remembering who you are and like, what are you gonna do from here? Because you either, and for me, it was just, you know, try to go back to like a normal life, because that's where I came from. I wasn't trying to be an actress or famous or anything, you know, so my
roots, it sounded like Slade was, you just went along for the ride, you know?
Mine was just like, I wanted to be a CEO and a boss and own a company and Bethany Frankel it, not to, on a product level, but from like a running business level. And that's what I tried. But eventually my love of creative, you know, my creativity and everything really pulled me back in. And because I'm now back in this content creator space, the doors of Housewives has opened up again and is so relevant, because it's a lot of the reasons why it opens a lot of doors for me. And so,
yeah, I mean, you got to use whatever it is at your disposal. Like, I mean, that's, you still have to show up and be yourself and be somebody people like, but whatever gets you in that door. I mean, it was the same as an actor. It's like, people say, oh, if you're related to somebody, it's like, you still have to be good. You still have, but it's like, getting that opportunity is so hard. It is like that one opportunity. So whatever it takes, you got to use it. And that's what I'm saying. Like, you better keep using it, but you got to, like, you, this is the moment. And I think this is what makes people. I was talking to Shane Keel last week, and he was talking about when he didn't, when he found out he got cut from the minor league baseball team. He was 24. He thought he was going to be in a baseball dynasty. He was supposed to be the golden boy. And then he had to turn around and drive home to Orange County. And I was like, what a weird drive to realize that you can either choose right now to just, you know, you could go and like, you know, hook up with a bunch of cocktail servers for the rest of his life in OC and just, or he could like turn, he could make his life what he wanted. But it seems like you had a kind of decision too. And yeah, it seems like you were choosing the right thing as well.
Totally. And for me, like, it was never about the money, obviously, because I didn't stay with Slade at the height, you know, like I was never the girl trying to find the guy with the money type thing. And so for me, even in my own career, it wasn't about how much money I'm making, but like, am I waking up every day absolutely fulfilled with what I'm doing? And yes, so much money, but the stress, and it wasn't my passion. And also I was making these advertising agencies, because it was the same thing I was doing, millions of dollars. And I was like, well, I'm building their company. Why don't I just become the brand and do the same thing I do, pitching brands and closing them, but for me?
It's just so hard though to represent yourself, you know, yeah, to sell yourself is one of the hardest things, because I think we have this kind of natural inclination to think like, I'd rather people just discover me than like sell yourself. You'd rather somebody else. So it's like that, it really is the toughest thing about being in Los Angeles or anything in the arts, you know?
Yeah, you have to eat humble pie every day. And I think that that's what's kept me grounded. Like, people come up to me still to this day and they're like, Joe, da-da-da. But to me, it's like, I'm just Joe. Like, I'm literally.
You are. I mean, I got to tell you, you really are insanely grounded. I was nervous going into this, and you were like, you've just been, you really just, you seem like somebody I would be friends with. Like, that is, I mean, that's not a compliment. That's all right. Yeah. But no, but I'm saying you just seem so, cool.
Normal?
I mean, it's just normal. Yeah. But like, but in a great way. You seem open. You don't seem like beaten down by life, like, some people can, you know?
That's because I got Jesus in my heart and a lot of whiskey in my back.
it's Jesus and whiskey. That's always the two. Well, I was talking about Alexis Bellino about her faith. Does your faith play a huge part in your life on a daily basis?
Absolutely. Every day. It's literally the one thing. It's my sanity. It's the only thing I have to hold on to when I am having an absolute midlife crisis or breakdown about what I'm doing in my career. Like, it's how I started the name of my company, 356 Digital Media. It's after my favorite proverb or scripture, Proverbs 356.
Like, what is that? What is that scripture?
Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge him and he will lead your path straight. And the thing is it's just about like, when you don't and you can't see the light at the end and you're in the middle of the darkness, like the one thing that you can hold on to is hope, is faith. It's not over. There is something to look forward to and something that you can count on, which is him. I have learned in my life. He's always been faithful. And just when I think I'm about to throw in the towel, something amazing happens, you know, so it's something that I attribute my success to.
That's really beautiful, actually. I mean, that really, has it always been like that? Or did you come, I mean, did your faith deepen, or have you always been a very religious, faithful person?
No, it's definitely, there's been my dark times of partying and, you know, being in the scene in Hollywood and kind of going away from all of that. And then as I got a little bit older, really finding my relationship with God. But especially now in these times of uncertainty and not knowing if you can keep the lights on tomorrow or where your next deal is going to come from or whatever, like, faith is kind of like all I have and what gets me through my day. Because if not, what else is there?
You know? Wow. That's really tough. That's awesome. Now I can't ask any more housewives. Now I'm like, well, that you can't, God is like the number one. I can't ask another question about Slade. There's like, I had that Hollywood period too, where it was like, you know, I remember like Christina Aguilera, Britney Spears, all those people when they were clubbing all together. Like, I remember carrying Christina Aguilera out at one point. Like, I remember you probably saw a lot of these things too. Did you date within that too? Please don't tell me you dated John Mayer or anything like that. Is there?
No. Okay. I was definitely surrounded by it a lot. And I have definitely had my dates with certain people that are you know, in that stature.
Tom Hanks, who are we talking about here? Come on, it's
maybe some music people. But I think, you know, and even like I got set up with NFL athlete guys, and I don't know, it's really hard to date somebody in the industry. Like, I mean, at least for me, like I kind of, that's why I love Taryn, because he's
By the way, that's her guy, you guys.
Yeah, Taryn, yeah. Yes, my boyfriend. So that's why I love him, because like, yes, he's in Hollywood and in that world, but he's not Hollywood. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I feel like it keeps me grounded. Like, he has a very successful musical theater production company. They've got a couple of musicals off Broadway, about to get on Broadway. But like, he stays so humble and grounded. And because it's not movies and TV and kind of that world, I don't know, it kind of normalizes.
How did you guys meet?
On Hinge. Super romantic story.
I love the people that meet their significant others on it, because they always, there's like Hinge. What was that? Hinge.
Yeah. It's kind of like a little cough. Yeah. And you know what? It's really funny, because I really was and am still such a romantic. Like, I thought I was going to go to Coffee Bean and grab coffee off of, you know, the counter and turn around and bump into him and throw coffee all over him and be like, oh, excuse me, and look up and there he is. You guys, 10 years living in the city, that is so far from the truth. The truth is, people are so busy in LA.
Yeah.
They don't even stop to look at you.
That's And plus, that just sounds messy with the coffee. That sounds like a lot of cleanup. That sounds, yeah. But it is funny. You do. I was talking about this with a friend yesterday, is that we are so, we have these romantic visions in our head because of movies and TV and pop culture. I was just talking about Sleepless in Seattle yesterday, and just what we expect, that it almost kind of, it's not the reality of these situations or of being in an actual relationship. I mean, it makes us believe, and I'm not saying that there is not, because I'm sure you guys are completely romantic in your relationship, but yeah, sometimes those meet cutes are never as meet cute as you see them to be on TV.
No. When I met Taryn, he had this disclaimer on his profile that said, isn't open to meeting anybody in COVID. And I was, because it was COVID, so he was just open to chatting on the app. And I was like, okay, perfect, because my YouTube channel had just come out. At the time, I was co-hosting a podcast that I'm no longer with, Pop Candy, but I was kind of focused on all of that. And I was like, perfect. He doesn't want to meet. I'm too busy to meet. This is going to be amazing. And I think when you're not looking is when.
Wait, when did he back off that? I don't want to meet some, like, how far into it was like, you know, we got to meet, like,
oh, probably after like two phone calls.
Oh man, he couldn't even hold that.
Yeah. I think we knew pretty early on, cause you know, we were, and it was funny, cause we would talk over Zoom. We would, you know, FaceTime was a thing. We would do dinners over Zoom and watch movies over Zoom. So we really were getting to know each other over a screen, cause it's really all we had.
It's all, yeah.
Yeah. 3 months, I think, before we actually ever met. By then we were already in a relationship. I had already said, I love you. Like, I've said this before, but I really did feel like I was living in my own Love is Blind. Like,
yeah, I mean, that is kind of like, I can't wait to, I mean, I hope Zoom someday just falters completely. I mean, like, it would be nice to never have to use Zoom again. And somebody was talking about, oh, well, you know, if you're vaccinated and all that stuff, you can meet in person. And I was like, oh my God, what? I don't even know what it would be like to interview somebody in person anymore. I'm so used to a screen.
Yeah, no, it makes sense.
As we start wrapping up, is there any, like, do things stick out like about the experience of Orange County that has always stayed with you in terms of moments or things that we might think of as iconic moments, how they were for you?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely want to burn that French maid costume.
And that gets brought up a lot. It's kind of attached to you. Yeah.
I no longer have it, but in my mind, I burn it daily. Sky tops should never come back as a trend ever, even though they made our boobs look really good.
Yeah. By the way, the second episode, you and I'm blanking on her name, we're talking to just about the boobs in Orange County.
Oh, all Kimberly. The women.
Kimberly. Sorry. Yeah. I was just rewatching. I forgot all about Kimberly. She was great.
I know. Kimberly. Yeah. I know. I'm like, we're would you go, Kimberly? So I would say that. And I think, like, I will definitely never forget, especially like second season, just how fun, and I don't think they get enough credit, like the crew was. Like, we really did become a family. And even myself with the girls, like, it really was. I think what I appreciate about our season was how real it was and authentic as it could be. Because we really were a family, all five of us and the crew and cast and everything. So those are my fondest memories. And
yeah,
and I think that in itself makes our season so different than everything that is now, because now everything is so produced and, you know, set up and stuff like that. And so I kind of hold it dear to my heart, as the early days of reality TV.
I mean, that's why I do. You are iconic. You will go down in history. This is because there really are so many people that love, I mean, passionately love these shows. I mean, I have a whole podcast about people that just want to hear about reality shows, but to be a huge part of that, I think, like, that's why I always was obsessed with being an actor or something like that, just because if I ever die, I know it'll probably never happen, but like you, that lives past you. That lives beyond you. That will always, that saying that you were there, you have done something with your life. And I know that's not necessarily the case now when I think back to like high school me, but it is so cool that you did it, you know?
Yeah. Thank you.
So the other thing, I just, while talking to you, why don't you track down people like Kimberly and all that and put them on a YouTube video or something? Like, you guys actually shared this really cool, I mean, there's no text thread between all of the first five ladies?
Come on. Yeah, no, there definitely is. Oh, yes, I still talk to Gina. You know, we'll keep in touch. Lori over social media. Shane, yeah. I just talked to a couple days ago over DM. Ashley Zarlin, which is Lori's daughter. So we all still keep in touch for sure. Which is great. Kimberly, completely don't know what happened. I heard she moved away somewhere.
We must find Kimberly. Please, yes, find Kimberly and let, yes, us know where she is.
I think I found her social media, but it's private. It's like, that's Aunt Jemima or something. Yeah.
That is wild.
Yeah. So I think she's kind of under the radar. So,
and then last question, when did you know that the show was a success? Like, you shoot this stuff, you still don't know it's going to mean anything or like even be seen. When did you start going like, oh my God, I think people might be watching this?
It was literally when I got invited to my very first big event and I had no idea anybody knew who I was. It was the Roberto Cavalli alcohol launch party where he was back in the day launching a vodka. And I literally came out of an improv class, shaved my legs and got ready at a 7-Eleven across the street to get ready for this event because it was a last minute thing. I had clothes in the car and a razor. Why? I have no idea.
Perfect.
But I got ready. And as I'm like walking up to this humongous house in the hills, there's this carpet and they were like, just walk down there. And I know this is crazy. I did not see the line of photographers on my right side until I heard somebody be like, Joe, look over here. And all of a sudden, click, flash. And all of a sudden, all these cameras start going off. Joe De La Rosa, Joe. And people are calling my name. And I'm like, what the hell is happening? Like, that was the first time I knew, holy crap, like, what just happened? So it was a very surreal experience.
Wow. What a moment. And I mean, I guess the only cool thing about not having social media is that you didn't have to go deal with any antics about now all the housewives fight on social media with each other. You didn't have to do any of that stuff. I mean, so there were some blessings, but Joe De La Rosa, thank you so much. You were beyond cool. You guys, you need to go subscribe to her YouTube channel. You need to go follow her on Instagram. You need to go stream that album on Spotify. I mean, there are so many things we can actually support you right now. Is there anything else that I'm forgetting?
I mean, I want to take you everywhere with me to be my hype man.
Yeah. By the way, what about Joe De La Rosa, everybody? Yes.
Yeah. No, I think you covered everything. Thank you.
Well, you really do mean a lot to me and to a lot of people out there. So they're going to be so excited to hear you. But thank you so much. And hopefully we will talk to you again when you're, well, you know what? You're probably going to be too big of an influencer and you will never talk to us again.
No way.
Hopefully we can get an update at some point.
I would love that. Thank you.
You guys, you just heard a great interview, but I saw something over the weekend and I needed to put this in here. And she was lucky enough. We were lucky enough that she agreed to come back on just so she could share her good news. I feel like we're responsible for this in a way, you guys. So Joe De La Rosa, welcome back. And could you share with us what good news you're celebrating?
Well, you guys, I'm engaged.
Whoa. Wow. Wait, okay. What? So that's crazy. We talked last week and then this just happened like a couple days ago, right?
Literally 2 days ago. Yeah.
Did you know this was coming? I mean, did you know it was imminent? Did you know like in a couple days this was happening when I talked to you?
Absolutely not. Like we had talked about it, obviously, but he had said to me, you know, before the end of the summer, and by summer, I mean the end of August. So I was like, okay, I knew he had asked my parents and we had been like, you know,
discussing. Yeah.
Yeah. We'd been discussing and we had gone window shopping to see like what kind of rings I liked and stuff like that. But he planned this completely elaborate story.
Yeah. How did he do it? That's what I want to know.
My brother was involved. My girlfriend neighbor was involved. Like, to completely decoy what was actually happening. So he proposed, it was a surprise proposal on my rooftop, like overlooking all of Hollywood, which of
course
was romantic in the evening.
Thank God the helicopters weren't out like in the pandemic, yeah.
Totally. And then he had actually tricked me and told me we were supposed to be going to Magic Castle that night with my little brother and his girlfriend to celebrate his job promotion he just got. So he had doctored up this fake Magic Castle confirmation, like he photoshopped it, Magic Castle confirmation that had the dress code, details, our reservation time. And at the very bottom, there was like a code and it said like BS, you know, 2021, but like, I didn't put two and two together because I didn't read the code. I just was like quickly.
Most people would not. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But it was like, they were all in on it. And then my girlfriend, who's also my neighbor, had group texted. There's like 18 of us on this group chat in my building. A week prior to that had been like, hey guys, I'm going to be shooting a video on the rooftop. I need to clear the rooftop Friday at 8 o'clock, please don't go up there. Not realizing that that was for my proposal. And then she texts me 2 days later and is like, hey, so about my video shoot, could you be up there at 9 o'clock? I'd love for you to make a cameo. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, I wish I could, but I'm going to Magic Castle that night.
Oh my God.
So I get all dressed up, lashes, black sequins dress, thinking like, we're about to go to dinner. And just as we're leaving, Taryn comes up to me and he's like, hey, babe, you know, your girlfriend Stephanie has been such a great friend. Why don't we just quickly go to the rooftop before we head to Magic Castle just to like show her support? Let's just stop by her video shoot. And I was like, I mean, we can, but she's
like, no, I don't want to be. No, I don't like music videos. No. Yeah.
So I was like, he was like, no, you know, let's just show us the support. I was like, all right. So we go up there and as we're going up the steps, I see like all the stuff on the floor and like all the setup. And I was like, wow, it looks like they really trashed the place because my eyes like weren't in focus yet, not realizing it's rose petals on the ground. There's little white lights. Like
you're in a live episode of The Bachelor all of a sudden. This is amazing.
I totally felt like I was in an episode of The Bachelor. And then before we get to it, he turns back and he's like, honey, we're not going to Magic Castle. And this is not a video shoot. And I was like, wait, what? And all of a sudden he opens the door to the patio and we walk in. There's photographers, there's videographers, there's all these people dressed in black, and all of a sudden lights come up. It's like, it was a whole production.
This better be in your YouTube video. You better be, that better be why they're filming. Yeah.
Yeah. So what's crazy is he, at the end of it, I mean, there was a song he wrote and sang to me before, like,
was he nervous? Was he shaking and sweaty or anything like that?
That's what's so crazy. He was
that's crazy.
So calm and collected being the performer he is. But that's why I didn't suspect anything because he was so calm all the way up.
Yeah.
Like, you know, usually see sweats or something.
Yeah, exactly. I'd be like soaked. That's amazing. And then how long did it take you to say yes?
I mean, right away he got it took me a couple seconds of like my hands over my face being in shock, but it was that little like white, I always told him I wanted, my girlfriend had this like light that shines down on the engagement ring, and had that in the box. But what's weird is he didn't request it. It came with the ring we got. So it was kind of all meant to be.
And by the way, you are wearing a real ring right now. I think I saw that is amazing. So that is, That really is a beautiful, I don't know rings, but that looks like gorgeous. So I was just so excited to read that. And I was like, oh my God, I need, cause it was such a great interview. And I was so, it was just so cool to read that. And I was like, wow, everything is coming up, Joe, all of a sudden. So congratulations. And Taryn's a very lucky man and you're a very lucky woman. And that's, I mean, do you guys already know, are you going to go run away to Vegas and elope?
Yeah. We want to start planning. Well, so he had told me at the end of it, he's like, honey, what kind of a partner would I be if I didn't actually capture all of this for your YouTube channel? So
wow.
The song he wrote me is Become My Wife. That's going to be out for streaming. And then the video is going to be out on my YouTube channel as well.
You better wait. When is this coming out so I can direct everybody? I already told them to go to your YouTube, but when is this going to come out potentially so they can watch for it?
So we don't have an exact date, but I'm thinking like in the next 2 weeks, be on the lookout for sure.
Yeah, this is going to be like Kanye's new album. You're going to keep posting, but we need this out now. Exactly. But that is just
Then all the planning, we're going to also be documenting it all for my channel. So it'll be really fun to just have like all our fans and stuff, just like an audience just come along the ride of like planning with us. So
now I saw the Page Six and all that stuff. They all picked the story up. Did you get a lot of people reaching out to congratulate you? Was it a lot of love?
It was so crazy. Like my post when we announced it was a very casual, like morning after announcement. And I mean, I've never gotten more likes, more comments, more congratulatory. I've never gotten more outlets, Us Weekly, Entertainment, Pages. Like, everyone did the story. I was like, holy crap, you guys all really still care. Okay.
No, that's what I think is really cool about that. I mean, people genuinely seemed really excited to hear this news. So I was like, I would really love to talk to you about it because it was such a great interview. And I think it's such goodwill. I think people will really be happy about hearing about this news. So thank you so much for coming on just to share that little bit with us. And you guys, once again, go follow her YouTube channel, follow that adventure. I think we got a reality show right here. I think this is but it couldn't have happened to a better person. And just congratulations.
You're so sweet. Thank you.
5, 4, 3.
Thank you to our sponsor, Hulu. Their new reality series, Vanderpump Villa, is an unfiltered portrait of what it is like to work in the glamorous French countryside while striving to impress Lisa Vanderpump. As guests arrive for their lavish vacation, the Vanderpump Villa staff are pushed to their limits, ready to cater to every whim, all the while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu.
Betches.